when you all see the words of the Lord and you start to get it, just make it your testimony. It's not a song that you sing super hard or it's going to make you jump and shout, but if you get into the heart of the song, the words of the song, and you start to worship with it and make it your own, amen, just you worship the Lord in your way. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
home to us. Amen. We're going to dismiss the children. Amen. To your left, to my right. Amen. And we're going to get ready to receive what thus saith the Lord for this afternoon. Amen. In the form of our speaker. Amen. Of the hour. Pastor David Camp. Amen. We want to greet him with a hearty praise the Lord.
I won't keep you long. Now, I said I want you all to feel like y'all in a lecture hall. I tried to condense this, but my wife always said, you can't act like you're up there, a college professor, trying to teach the word of God, because you don't have all day. So I did condense it, but it's still long. Amen. But nevertheless, we're living in a very dangerous time spiritually. Amen. There are a lot of people who are doing what they want to do, and they come to church, and they're trying to make God accept their works instead of conforming to God's word. So a lot of people come to church and they're trying to make God accept what they're giving him instead of them conforming to what God wants them to be. Amen. So we're going to start off reading from James, the second chapter. We're going to read verses 14 through 26. James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 26. I think to me, studying God's word is, every day is a new adventure. Amen. I've been saved. If I tell you how long I've been saved, y'all may guess how old I am. So I've been saved for a long time. I've been saved for 40 years. 41 years. But what I like about God is as I walk with the Lord, his word is not diminished. His word is not lessened. I take more pleasure and pride in studying God's word. And as the scriptures say, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment. And God's ways are what? Past finding out. But let's go to James, the second chapter. We're going to read verses 14 through 26. And I will try to keep this as short as possible. And I'm not really so much interested in making you shout as making sure that when you leave out the doors, you don't leave the same way you came in. So the old saying, if you came in strong, we want you to leave stronger. If you came in with a closer relationship with God, we want you to have a closer relationship. If you came in with questions and need direction, we want God to order your steps through his word. Can we say hallelujah? So look at somebody and say, don't come in, don't leave. Don't y'all want to talk to somebody? Don't leave like you came in. Seriously, don't leave like you came in. Because if you're like most of us, we came in with a lot of problems. We came in with a lot of challenges. We came in with a lot of issues. So don't leave like you came in. So I'll make a sign and send it to the door on the way out. Don't leave like you came in. Amen. But nevertheless, let's go to the word of God. James 2:14 reads, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man, is he talking to the church or to the unsaved? He's talking to the brethren, right? He said that though a man had faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. You know what I like about God? He said, now I'm going to teach you what I mean by not just having faith. And he invited to the who? Church, my brother. He said, if a brother be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, but ye be warm and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it had not works, is dead. Faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, men may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest, there is. That just tells it right there. Ain't no holy gospel right there. There's how many?
One
God. Thou doest well. You ain't got nothing. Just believing is not enough. How many don't believe it ain't enough? See, I believe in God. Guess what? The devils also believe. Amen. They also believe and tremble. But with our Abraham, our father, justified by works, when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon upon the altar. Since thou have faith wrought with his works, and my words was made, was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, who said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by, let me say that one more time. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messenger and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, we just honor you today. Lord, we thank you for a mind to seek you. Lord, we thank you for a mind to serve you in the land of the living. Oh God, we ask you to walk throughout the sanctuary. Lord, search every heart. Lord, search every mind. Lord, those that are looking for answers, send an answer through the word of God. Lord, those that are looking for direction, send direction through the word of God. Lord, those that are on a brink of wanting to quit and give up, we ask you to send the word of God to strengthen them so that they don't faint and quit. And Lord, our hearts desire today is send the word to heal. Lord, send the word to deliver. Lord, send the word to set free. Lord, send the word in the name of Jesus to heal bruised hearts. Lord, send the word, oh God, in the name of Jesus to set the captives free. Oh God, we ask you to send the word. And for this we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So James is dealing with the church. And he was dealing with those that, you know, a lot of times we like to use the excuse. Can we go to the scripture? Let me see if it's Titus. Let me see which one we're going to go to. I have quite a few. We like to use this excuse for not having to do for God, that just now that we have faith, you don't have to do works, because faith, you can't just have faith alone. But let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter, and we're going to read verses 5, and then 8 and 9, and then I'll give you our message for today. Amen. So James tells us, you got to have more than faith. You have to do more than just believe. And the comparison that he makes, he said, you believe, the devil also. Now, can the devil go to heaven? No. Right? The devil can't go to heaven, so it takes more than just believing for you to go to heaven. God wants us to do works. So Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ, that by grace you are saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, many like to use that excuse and say, well, all you have to do is have faith because you're not saved by your works. Amen. But if you don't have works and you only got faith, the scripture says you are dead. Amen. Are you with me? So God wants us to do more than just believe. Amen. You have to do something. So our message today is dead believers walking. Dead believers walking, and God is not impressed with your faith alone. Dead believers walking. Now we know there's a saying that they like to use, dead men walking. Alright, dead men walking alludes to men that are on death row, that are walking, they're not dead yet, but they have been sentenced to die. Right? So dead believers walking is, we're not dead yet, but if we don't change the course of what we're doing, we are destined to die. Now, we're not talking about a child of God, because a child of God cannot die. A child of God falls asleep. Amen. So now let's go back to James. So God expects more than just faith. All right, pull up, before I get back to James, pull up Matthew 5:16. And now, I want you all to pay attention to this. Now, if I mess up, can y'all correct me? All right, we all participate in this. So those that believe that you don't have to do any works, all you have to do is have faith and believe and God will save you. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men so they can see your faith. So they can see that you believe. Right? You have to let your light shine so they can see that you're all spiritual and praising the Lord. No, so they can see your works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. How many know if Jesus tells us something, you can pretty much bank on that? So in order for people to know your light is shining, they have to see how you are living. Not how you're talking. Not how I can shout and I can praise the Lord. But what do you do when you leave church? How do you walk when you're not in the presence of the saints? How do you walk when nobody's watching you? But you can be assured of this. The scripture says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. So God watches us at all times. So if Jesus said, let your light shine, that means you have to do something so that men can see your good faith. So that men can see that you're just faithful to come to church. But what are your works? What are you doing in your works? Amen. So James tells him, he uses these illustrations of how faith without work is dead. He said, now, you know, somebody comes to you and said, he said, if a brother comes to you, that means they where? Church. These ain't trick questions. I ain't gonna tell the church yet. But if a brother, I just get you. If a brother comes to you or a sister comes to you and say, boy, I'm in need. He said, oh yeah, I'm gonna pray for you. I know you don't do that. I'm just extravagant. I'm not telling you. Right? But he said, if somebody comes to you, a brother or sister in church, and you say, I'm going to pray for you, and you go and be well, and you have it by you, and you can help them, that is not faith with works. Because if you have the ability to help, you should help. So if he said, now this is what I'm comparing your faith without works is dead. If someone comes to you in need, now God doesn't expect you to do what you can't do. But God forbid, if I can help you, I'm not going to turn my back. Amen. So faith without works is dead. And then he goes on to talk about Abraham was justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac. And we went over that this past Wednesday, him offering up Isaac. But then he drops down because many times in church, a lot of people are saved in church and they're living on an old reputation. They're in church, but they're living on their reputation for what they used to be. You know what I mean? A lot of people, I used to be. My question is, what are you doing now? So, our works are what God sees. Our reputation is what man sees. Our works are what God sees. Our reputation is what man sees. So he drops down into that 25th verse. He said, was not Rahab the her reputation wasn't too keen. Rahab the harlot, she had a bad reputation in the sight of man. But she was justified by works in the sight of God. Rahab the harlot. So he said, you cannot allow your reputation to supersede your works. Amen. Just because you're an elder, pastor, this, you can't live in that. You still got to do some works. Just because you're saved in the same church, you still have to do some works. God sees your works. People see your reputation. Amen. Remember that God sees our works, but man only sees your reputation. Now let's go to Revelation chapter, the third chapter. So today, dead men walking are dead believers walking. Why are you dead? Because what are your works? What are we doing for God? I come to church. We don't come to church for God. We come to church for ourselves. The question is, in your private time, what are you doing? Fundada. Revelation, the third chapter, and we're going to start with verse 1. Are y'all still with me? And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he that has the seven. Now we know there's only one spirit, but he's talking about he's the complete. The seventh spirit means he's the completeness of God. The seventh spirit and the seven stars, which are the seven churches, he said, I know thy works. To all of the seven churches in Revelation, God tells him, he said, I know your works. If God was to examine our works right now, what would he say to us? That's a personal conversation. That's a personal situation. If God was to examine our works, what would he say? He said, but I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou, he said, your name say you're living, but you are dead. Thou hast a name. He said, I know your works. Yes, you believe. Yes, you shout. Yes, you come to church. But what do you do when you leave church? What is your reputation? So that name is the Greek word onoma, O-N-O-M-A. It means you have a reputation that you're alive. You have a reputation that you're a child of God. But your works say that you are dead. Your works say that you come up short. Amen. So your reputation precedes you. Well, what are your works? What did you do in your private time? Amen. How do you handle yourself when you're not around anybody else? What are your works? Because if your works are to God, then men will see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So my question is, when we're not with people that know us, what kind of works do we have? What are our actions? Now, our works have to be before who? Before God. Amen. So verse 2 says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works before your pastor. I have not found your works perfect before the leadership in the church. Your works are not perfect before the bishop, the apostle. No, who's checking out your works? God, because he said, I know your works. So I have not found your work perfect before God. Remember, therefore, from which thou hast received, and he said, listen, you know the truth. You've heard the truth, but you haven't done anything with it. He says, so remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. And now, what he said, listen, all of us at times go wrong. Say, praise the Lord. So we said, now if you are going wrong, you need to turn it around. If you've been going in the wrong direction, if you know that if God was to judge your works, Lord, I thank you. I don't have to stand before man. I stand before God. And God says, shall not the God of the judge of all the earth do right? So God don't make a mistake when you judge. Like these dead men walking in prison, some of my answers. Well, what I like before my God is when I go before God, when God judges my works, I don't ever have to worry about God making a mistake. Because God is perfect in all of his ways. So I'm walking before God and God is judging my works. Not what people think about me, because there's a name that thou liveth. But I want to know, does God think about my works? So your works are not perfect before God. Amen. And the first 4 said, we'll stop here for this portion. Thou hast a few names in Sardis. So if you go to verse 5, which had not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in. God said, you know they're pure. There are a few names in Sardis that have not defiled their garments. Now, he tells them, he said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Amen. But I just want to go back up to watch. Right? Because God said we need to watch. Well, what are we watching? Lord, I just want to make sure I'm that tie to your culture and your habits. So Sardis was a town that was highly hilled. It was a great military post, and everyone wanted to get to Sardis because it was high on the cliff. And the people of Sardis were affluent, amen. They were very relaxed in their living. They didn't have to worry about anything because they were high on the cliff. And they just said, well, we don't have to worry about watching. This is why he tells them to watch. So what happened was back in about 500 B.C. when King Cyrus wanted to take over Sardis because they were high up on the cliff, he said, there will be a perfect strategic place for me when I go to war. But they could not penetrate Sardis. They did not know how to get up to Sardis. It was impenetrable. So what he did is he said, King Cyrus said, I will give whatever soldier in my army millions and millions of dollars if they can figure out how we can get into Sardis. Right? So what happened was one of the soldiers sat there and he studied and studied and studied. And he watched that one of the soldiers in Sardis dropped his helmet and it fell down the cliff. And then as he watched, he said, now how is the soldier going to get his helmet back in preparation for war? So the soldier had a secret passageway. Had a secret passageway where he came out and got his helmet and went back up. So he went back to King Cyrus and said, I know how we can get there because I found the secret passageway. All right, so he goes back up. But Sardis had a problem because they fell as though they were impenetrable. They did not watch. They said, we don't have to worry about no one coming up here. We can see them coming. So they were relaxed. They would not watch. And as a result of being too relaxed, because they got too comfortable, because they got too complacent, King Cyrus found the hidden passageway. And they conquered Sardis. So the Lord said, you need to learn to watch. So for us, watch should mean a lot. But when Sardis heard this again, we lost our own town before because we did not watch. So it's so important today. In church, you still have to watch. The adversary, the devil, the Bible says, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So his every effort is designed to trap you. Remember Jesus, when he was about to be crucified, he told his apostles, he said, watch and pray, so that you don't enter into temptation. So the Lord tells him in Sardis, he said, you got to watch. Then as you watch, you got to repent. Then as you repent, you need to do something with your works. You can't just rest on your reputation. And I wonder today, how many of us in church are resting on our reputation? What I did, your reputation is what you did in the past. But the question is, what are you doing for God right now? What changes are you making for God right now? Amen. Will God be able to tell you, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you're doing something for God right now? So your reputation. The greatest person that we can look at when it comes to reputation is Jesus. So let us go to Philippians, the second chapter. Are y'all still with me? You have to watch. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is setting traps. His desire is to trip you up. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes your trip up don't come from the outside. Your trip up comes from the inside. So you have to watch. To watch means you have to be sober. That means you're always looking. Because the moment you relax, you'll be a Sardis. And the enemy will come in and take you over. Well, Philippians 2 gives us the greatest example of someone who did not allow their reputation to precede them. And his name is Jesus. Amen. So verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no. He said, yes, I'm God, but I have a purpose and a calling. So I can't live on my reputation because my reputation says that I'm God. And because I'm God, there is nothing that can stop me. Because I'm God, he said, I have all power. your reputation keeps you looking backwards. God is trying to take you to a new spiritual height, but your reputation is trying to make you comfortable with men. So God said, I have a higher calling for your life. But you keep going to people and say, well, what do you think about me? That's your reputation. But God said, I look at your works. I'm looking at how you're living from day to day. And I can tell you now that I have not found your works to be perfect before me. So the scripture says, he made himself of no reputation and took upon man the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he... So when you live on your reputation, you are full of pride. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've accomplished? Do you know what my church is? Do you know all about this? That's full of pride. But when you don't live on your reputation, you humble yourself. He said he humbled himself. And the next verse said, because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, because he put himself down, God highly exalted him. Because I'm not living on my reputation, but I'm living on You don't do that, brothers and sisters. If you're going to be in church, serve God for who God is. If you're in church, say, I don't care about 100,000 people going home. I'm going to serve God for who God is. And I'm not going to try to appease up to you. I'm not going to try to have a good reputation with you so you can give me something, because what God gives me is greater. How many know going to heaven is greater than anything that anybody can give you? So I don't have men's person and admiration. Look, if you're wrong, I'm separating myself from that. If you don't want to live right, I'm separating myself from that. Why? Because I want to go to heaven. And how many know we all become a product of our environment? Whatever you put yourself around, that's what you become. If you don't believe it, go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, evil communication corrupts good manners. You know what that means? That evil communication, it could be taught, but it means your behavior. What are you putting yourself around? Because if you put yourself in a bad situation, no matter how righteous you're trying to be, you're going to be corrupt. You're going to be messed up. Amen. So I'm not going to say this way. You got like, you just want $1 million, I'm going to be your best friend. I'm going to do this. I don't care about that. Because when I leave, I didn't bring anything into this world, and I'm not going to take anything out. The only thing I'm going to leave this world with is my soul. Amen. So I'm going to make sure when I leave this place, God will be able to say, is well with my soul. Amen. I'm not going to be a dead believer walking around just talking about faith and don't have no words. I want God to be able to say, well with your soul. We sing a song, is it well with your soul? And that's the question, brothers and sisters, today. Forget about what people are saying and thinking. Is it well with your soul? When God examines you, when God sets you aside, will God Let your words be perfect before God ever gives.